Okay. Tonight we have a 10-minute speaker, Jessica R. Please give her a warm welcome.
I'm Jessica, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jessica.
Gosh, I don't know where to start. I was born here, and I was raised in San Jose until I was about 10 years old. And that's when I started drinking, I think at the age of 9. I was abused as a child, and I wanted attention. So, you know, I guess my family didn't recognize that I was drinking. And when I was 10, I was just done. I was done with the abuse, and I kept drinking and drinking, and my grandmother decided to bring me back here. And I moved in with another grandparent, and I guess she didn't recognize it either. You know, I hid it pretty well. I went to school with rich kids. Their families had wine cellars. They always had, you know, liquor cabinets, extra refrigerators with nothing but beer. And my friends didn't know that I was an alcoholic, you know. I didn't know I was an alcoholic, you know. They would drink with me, but I think I would go and hide in the garage and drink more. And so they had no idea that I was an alcoholic. I was taking alcohol to school at the age of 10. And a girl noticed that I was drunk at school, and she told on me. And the next day I beat her up. And after that, I still continued on drinking, taking alcohol to school, and she left me alone. You know, she never told on me again, and I'm not proud of that. I don't know, I don't remember who she was, you know, because it was so long ago, and I don't remember. I don't remember who she was. I don't remember who I beat up that day. I was so drunk. You know, I just remember, you know, that no one ever, you know, bothered me again at school because they were afraid of me, I guess. I continued on drinking, and I started using other stuff. And my grandmother still, my other grandmother had no idea. No idea. I think one time she found cigarettes in my purse, so that was about the only thing that she knew I did was smoke. And I hid it from her pretty well. My brother used to go get alcohol for me, and my friends. And I don't know. I just, I think my grandmother was in denial, you know, because my mother was a drug addict and an alcoholic. And she co-signed her shit. She co-signed my brother's shit, and she co-signed my shit. You know, she never said anything to me. I remember one time coming home, and I was so drunk. I had been drinking Black Velvet, I think, and I had never drank that before. And I came home, and I was puking my guts out. And she never came into my room. And I think the next day she answered the phone. It was my boyfriend, and she told him off. She told him off, and she never said not one word to me, and he never said anything to me till I was like 20-something years old. You know, and here I was, I think, 15 years old. And by that time, you know, I started using other things, and I didn't want to be home anymore, and I left with that boyfriend, and my grandmother let me go. You know, she figured my mom left home at 15, my brother left home at 15, and she wasn't going to stop me. And I was afraid of my grandmother. I was afraid of her. And if she would have told me to sit my ass down and you ain't going nowhere, I would have stayed. But she didn't. Because of that, I ended up in a very abusive relationship. And I continued on that relationship for a very long time. I had 3 children in that relationship. And when my 3rd child was a year old, I was almost dead the day I left. I still didn't know I was an alcoholic. I still kept drinking, still kept using other things, and I ended up with someone else and had 2 more kids. I had 5 kids. Still doing the same shit over and over and over again. And one day I had left. I had left my boyfriend. I took my kids to my grandmother's and decided I was going to go meet some other guy and stay with him for a couple days and get loaded and not come home. And someone ended up calling CPS. So my kids were taken from me. And that still didn't stop me. It still didn't stop me from doing the things that I was doing. A year went by. I tested clean and sober. Don't know how I did it because I wasn't clean and I wasn't sober. I finally found a program. I didn't know what I was doing. I went and I asked for help, and they took me in, and that was the TC house, and I came to a meeting, and I sat there and said I'm not an alcoholic, that I was just a drug addict, and they asked me to leave, and that was a women's meeting, And I caught my first resentment that day, in recovery. Because I didn't know what resentments were. You know, I didn't understand them. So at this point, you know, I'm still mad at everybody. CPS can just go to hell. And, you know, it was everybody else's fault but mine. You know, and I couldn't get the program. I stuck around 30 days. They told me that I would never see my kids again because I was too late of getting into recovery. And I don't know why I stuck around, but I stuck around for a little while. And I didn't work my steps. I had a sponsor that wasn't really helping me. And it was mostly about her life and not helping me. So I still didn't understand Alcoholics Anonymous at that point. And I still was in denial that I was an alcoholic. So finally, when I graduated, the next day I was back out there. And it took me to get pregnant again and come back. And then I realized that I was an alcoholic. I put myself in a home again and the same house. I begged for a bed. They took me in. I stayed for 10 months and I worked my steps. I worked my steps with my sponsor and she was my case manager at first, you know, the first time I came in. So she was just like, if you're not gonna admit you're an alcoholic, you need to get the fuck out. You need to get the fuck out of my car. I can't help you because, you know, this is what I know, you know, and I told her, no, I am an alcoholic, and I know I'm an alcoholic. If I could drink at 9 years old, I'm an alcoholic. And working the steps, you know, really helped me see my part in so many things. And And it got to the point where CPS saved my life, you know, because I came back. I came back, and it was really hard. It was really hard. I had my son, and right away I got pregnant again, and I started working in recovery, and I think at 2 years sober, I lost my mom, and I already had relapse in my head at that point. And I was pregnant, so I didn't go out. And I kept coming to meetings. I kept working with my sponsor and telling her, you know, once again, it was everybody else's fault, you know. I didn't really want to work the steps again. I just kept coming to meetings. I was working in recovery, and then my dad died 11 months later after my mom. And then I was done. I was done, and I, at that point, lost everything. I had to give my children to their fathers, and I didn't know what to do. To this day, I don't know what I did for a whole week, and that scared me. But it still didn't stop me. I kept going, and it took me to go to jail. And my son's dad kept telling me, yeah, yet you haven't gone, you know, and, you know, but it took me to go to jail. It took me to go to jail, and 3 months of jail time, another 6 months in the program again. And how much time do I have? I'm okay. So here I am, you know, I get out of jail, and I go back to that program, and I beg for a bed once again, and she didn't want to let me back in. She was just like, no, you don't want this bad enough. And the counselor was like, yes, she does. She goes, I heard the desperation in her voice in jail. If you knew what happened, you would understand. And so she said, okay, Monday morning, I want you here at 9 o'clock with all your stuff, and you're moving back in. And I did that. I did that. I got the same sponsor again. I believe my sponsor has like 24 years. And she's helped me through so much. Today I talk to her every day, and you know, I worked my steps again. I remember I was on step 4, and she's like, I know this isn't all you got. You better go back home. Better go back home and think about it, pray about it, and do some more writing. And some old stuff came up, and until I got that shit out, I was still, I don't know, I was still a mess, you know, and when I finally got that shit out and talked to her about it, and, you know, I sat there for a good 3 hours and got that stuff done, you know, the hardest part was, I think, step 9. Step 9, you know, I'm still there to this day. I have over 4 years sober, and now I'm starting to do my financial amends, and, you know, they just took my taxes, you know, but that's okay. It went to my school, and you know what, they can have it, you know, less money for me to pay. You know, but I get to do these things. I get to pay those bills off, you know, and, you know, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that I'm still around. I had so many chances to just walk away, and I didn't do it. I ended up finally getting the job. I think I sat at the 1600 Club one night and I was crying because I could not find a job. And, you know, I have 5 counts of identity theft, so that's really hard to get a job. And finally I got a job. I got my driver's license back after 6 years. I think I was driving around for a year and not knowing that I didn't have it anymore. You know, but I didn't drive. You know, I knew that I if I drove, I was going to be in so much trouble. And, you know, so I waited it out, and I finally got my driver's license back. Last week, I finally got off probation, and I am so blessed today. So blessed. So I think that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Jessica.